Welcome to VIREX Database and Method Cyber Seminar entitled Measuring Veterans Health Services Use in VA and Medicare, Part 1. Thank you to CIDR for providing technical and promotional support for this series. Today's speaker is Denise Hines, Director of VIREX and Research Career Scientist at the HSR&D Center of Excellence here at Hines VA Hospital. Dr. Hines holds a joint position at the University of Illinois at Chicago as Professor of Public Health and as Director of the Biomedical Informatics Corps of the University's Center for Clinical and Translational Sciences. Questions will be monitored during the talk in the Q&A portion of GoToWebinar and will be presented to Dr. Hines after each section of her talk. A brief evaluation questionnaire will pop up when you close GoToWebinar. We would appreciate if you would take a few moments to complete it. I'm pleased to welcome today's speaker, Dr. Denise Hines.
Good morning, everybody. Margaret, if you could just give me some feedback to make sure that the volume and everything is okay, we'll go ahead and get started.
The volume is fine, Denise.
Okay, good. So good morning to some, good afternoon to others. We sort of think of this as our lunchtime seminar series. Today, we're going to begin two-part lectures on using Medicare data with VA data. Most of my comments today are going to focus on specific elements of data within Medicare claims data sets. I'll be talking about the topics on slide two here. I'll talk today mostly about inpatient and outpatient services. Our next lecture in January, I believe, will be focused on other data sets that Medicare provides to VA. I'll be talking a bit about some of the measurement strategies researchers have used for evaluating Medicare beneficiary healthcare use among veterans in particular, and then some specific examples of VA studies that have used these data, and then close with where to go for more help. So let's get a sense first. I'd like to know our audience. I know we have a lot of people on. I'd like to first know in this quick poll, how many of you have ever used any of the Medicare claims data sets in your research? This will give me a sense of how familiar you are with some of the terms and the types of data that we'll be talking about. And these polls take a few minutes to collect the information. I'll also be asking about how you rate your knowledge. So it looks like about three-quarters of our group have no experience working with the Medicare claims data sets themselves. 25% of you have had some. So the next question is, you know, exactly how would you rate your overall knowledge about working with these data sets? One would be no knowledge at all, meaning you've never had any experience. Three would be maybe you're familiar with it, but, you know, maybe it's your staff who are really working with the Medicare data. And five means expert knowledge, so you've actually had some experience doing some analyses with these Medicare claims data, have published a paper with Medicare claims data, and in particular, if you've used Medicare data plus VA data, that would put you in the five category. Let's see how everybody fans out on this one. Okay, so we have nobody who considers them an expert. Darn, I was looking for someone to help us do this lecture next year. We have a lot of novices, 51%. About 25% rank themselves as a 2 on the Likert scale, 13% in the middle, and 11% at the 4 level. Great. So we have lots to learn today, and I hope that the information that I'm going to describe will be helpful to you. Next year, I'd like to, I hope that this will help you write some papers using Medicare claims data. I should caution, today's lecture and next month's lecture will be introductory only. I'm afraid that by listening to these two lectures, it will not move you to a 5. But I hope that those of you who said that you had no experience at all, it can at least move you up the scale. And to consider using Medicare with VA data in summer year research, and at least to appreciate the importance of understanding why Medicare data might be important, even if you're focused on a VA cohort. So let's just talk first about why they're important. I'm also going to mention our assistants on the call today. Margaret Browning is going to help me with questions. I would encourage you to use the chat mechanism for submitting questions as we're going along, and we'll have pauses at a couple places in today's lecture so that we can see what questions we can answer online today, and any questions that we might not be able to address due to either substance or time, we will answer offline. So please don't hesitate to ask questions today. So why are Medicare claims important? First of all, many veterans who use VA healthcare also obtain some of their healthcare outside the VA. Notably, in particular, those who are 65 and older are likely to be eligible for Medicare. So it's very common for veterans to use both the VA and to use resources outside VA healthcare. So if you're someone who needs a full picture of healthcare to draw, you know, conclusions about various types of care, whether it be about a chronic disease we'll get into some examples of the types of outcome measures that researchers are using, you might want to consider using Medicare claims as part of your data sources. In fact, almost half of veterans enrolled in the VA are also enrolled in Medicare. And there's also some special populations who might be eligible because of various forms of disability or particular disease entities. Healthcare providers and health equipment suppliers, they submit claims to Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. They are reimbursed for services and products. So a physician at a university medical center, a physician in a non-university community entity, a health clinic, urgent care, suppliers of medical equipment, they all submit claims to CMS. The claims are then collected by CMS and entered into the data sets for analysis based on the type of billing form that they use to gather the original information, and then the type of provider. So a supplier vendor would be different than a physician delivering healthcare services. Outpatient services would have a different billing form than inpatient services. These are critical components to keep in mind because these two dimensions are in large part how the data sets themselves are organized. And it's shown here on this slide. It gives you just a table to kind of sort that out. The billing forms, the provider type, and just some examples of providers. And the names of the forms, government likes to use numbers, and these are the most up-to-date forms that are used. So you'll hear CMS providers refer to CMS 1500, and that has a particular meaning. It's non-institutional provider type, and the types of providers that submit their claims to CMS for reimbursement are physicians and suppliers. And the same with the CMS 1450, also known as the Uniform Billing 04. It's also interesting to note that most of the major health insurers use these forms as well. In just collecting information for their own information. So it makes information gathering, if you're doing a study that involves yet another dimension, private health insurance, and you're lucky enough to be able to get access to that information, there are some standards that are used, and CMS is basically setting that standard. Some types of information about the claims files that Medicare produces. There's institutional files, there's non-institutional files, and then there's what's called institutional stay files. So the institutional files include the five that are listed here: outpatient, home health agency, hospice, inpatient, SNF. We like to pronounce our acronym sometimes when we can, skilled nursing facility. Non-institutional files are the carrier, is what it's referred to, and it can include physician services that are outside the actual hospital setting. It can include consults that are provided in a hospital stay, But whenever a physician can separately bill outside of what the hospital bills for, that is not in an outpatient setting, or, you know, part of the inpatient admission, that might be in the carrier file or suppliers, medical equipment, IV medications, et cetera, durable medical equipment as well. Institutional stay file, this one is more of a compiled file, if you will, Medicare Provider Analysis and Review. You've probably heard of it, known as MedPAR. And it collapses information about an inpatient stay or a skilled nursing facility stay and includes information about a particular stay as opposed to breaking it out into individual records by a particular person. You can identify a person, but it's organized by the particular stay. Today, we will focus on the items highlighted here in red, outpatient and inpatient for the institutional files. I'll talk a little bit about the carrier file, and I'll talk about the MedPAR file. The MedPAR file is one that is very commonly used. It sort of compiles information in a useful way, and depending upon your research question, might save you some programming time, because oftentimes you might have to construct something that's similar to the MedPAR file if you're looking at inpatient care. So let's just talk a little bit about some examples so that you can understand, especially since we have a little bit more than half of our audience today not familiar with the Medicare data, to understand a little bit about how the claims relate to clinical care. You have to keep in mind, and it's sort of a simplistic view, but think of Medicare as a large insurance provider, which it is. It's just the largest in the world, frankly. And it you have to think of these as in filing for reimbursement. So things are driven by services and costs. So a provider, a single claim or a claim for reimbursement for actual payment of a service, there's one service or product or procedure. So a physician office visit would be a service. If you have more than one service, product, or procedure, such as an inpatient hospital stay, in the inpatient file, that would be potentially a service. Sometimes there are services that can be provided that require multiple claims, like a long inpatient stay, for example, one that goes over multiple years or that has multiple aspects to it, different entities within the same institution. There might be multiple claims submitted for an inpatient stay or for a procedure that involves multiple physicians. If somebody is having, you know, either a diagnostic or therapeutic procedure that involves multiple specialists, the specialists might bill separately for their services. So what you really need to think about is, you know, what kind of care are you interested in using the Medicare claims for? And you really need to hone in on understanding how the claims for that particular service or product or procedure that you want to study are represented in the claims data. It's really imperative that you understand the questions that you have and how it's organized in the claims data. No one from, Medicare or VIREC can help with, you understand your research best. We can help you understand how the data are organized, but you really, it's an area that would be good for you to really understand for the particular aspects of your particular project. Some things to think about, how the Medicare data can be beneficial. In the VA, we've spent something on the order of 10 plus years to ensure that we have some good agreements between CMS and VHA so that we can link data with VA data using Social Security numbers and the VA scrambling algorithm for Social Security numbers. So that gives you some options if you're conducting a study using VA data and you want to bring information in about subjects that you're studying and to be able to link VA data with Medicare data so that you can have information that's coordinated by patients. The data are directly related to billing, so the items that are collected related to billing are going to be the most accurate. Again, these are claims data. So information about from and through dates, some services last a period of time. Those may be important aspects depending upon the service that you're looking at. For example, home health care, they might deliver a service over many weeks or over many months. Those would be particular aspects to pay attention to. Charge and payment amounts are usually pretty accurate. Diagnosis codes is a condition of payment. Procedure codes are conditions of payments. And certainly provider numbers are conditions of payments. Less accurate may be sociodemographic information about either providers or patients. There are some exceptions to that. But the billing data are the most accurate. Some things to think about, too, some limits of the Medicare claims data is that, you know, information that is, as I mentioned, the demographic data is not essential for billing. So, you know, it's not the best place we would recommend for looking for marital status. While there might be a field there, there may be better sources for this. Similarly, for clinical data, there really is extremely limited information in Medicare claims data on lab results, and it's really a very select few bits of information that are directly tied to reimbursement. Vital signs are fairly absent. Symptoms are absent in Medicare claims data. And then there's some services that are not itemized. Keep in mind that Medicare, for the most part, reimburses on a fee-for-service system for outpatient and some services. Inpatient, they provide reimbursement on a prospective payment system. So information about the details of an inpatient event may not be very complete or reliable, since inpatient is reimbursed basically on, you know, the fact that a stay happened, not so much on the aspects of the stay or the number of procedures that occurred during that stay. And similarly, managed care is even more challenging because managed care does not provide detailed billing at all. Those are separately maintained, and there's no information in a claims database at Medicare for populations in managed care organizations. Let's just talk a little bit about data access so that you understand right up front how you might be able to avail yourselves of these data for a VA research project. So keep in mind that Medicare makes data available to researchers across the country. And you can make a special request to Medicare for your non-VA funded research. Within the VA, we've arranged a special situation where you can, as a under a VA authorized research project, you can request access to Medicare data as long as you have VA Research and Development Committee and Institutional Review Board approved projects. The data steward for this is the VA Information Resource Center, VIREC. In red there, we have a special project that we maintain. We're the data steward for all the CMS data for research within the VA. And then, therefore, all of the requests for VA research need to go through VIREC. If you have additional questions about this, we've tried to put a lot of information on our website, and the URL is there. It's not a live link, but it's something that you can refer to offline. And just to clarify, if you have a non-VA research project, for example, based at a university, you can go directly to CMS and request this similar information that I'll be describing today. Same type of data set organization. We're describing the standard files that Medicare maintains. The fork in the road here is that if you go as a university-based researcher, you will have to maintain some kind of budget in your request and go through your university process. Within the VA, for the most part, the costs are already covered by the Assistant Deputy Undersecretary for Health. policy and planning. VIREC has basically curated these data. There's some special requests that can cost a little extra for data that we don't already have on site. I'll leave it at that for introductory remarks about how to access the data. We can certainly entertain more questions, and again, I would refer you to the website. So that sort of concludes our overview. And as you can tell, you know, I'm giving you very introductory information to give you a sense of the kind of data and the information that we can make available through VIREC. I'm going to pause here and see if we have any questions so far, and then we'll continue. Margaret, do you have any questions you want to pass along? So I'm going to take that as a no. We have one question here. Are veterans eligible for Medicare only when they are over 65? So in general, most people are eligible for Medicare when they become 65. However, there are some special populations, especially people who might have qualified earlier than 65 because of some disability, which some of our veteran population might be. There's a particular carve-out, meaning a special program for people with end-stage renal disease. They can apply for Medicare benefits when they become dialysis-dependent at any age. So there are those sorts of special circumstances. There are people who might not be eligible for Medicare until later because it does depend on payment into the Social Security Administration over time. So it is not available to everyone just because they're 65. You would have to have paid into the system. So I'm going to keep going, and we'll talk a little bit about locating some specific information, and we'll see if we have more questions when we get to the next section.
Denise, this is Margaret. I'm sorry I didn't respond. I lost my mute control.
We'll do some more questions in the next section. Thanks, Margaret.
Okay, sorry.
So let's just talk about identifying outpatient services. First, outpatient services might be provided in sort of the following places. I had mentioned this before. They're either within institution or they might be within non-institutional settings. And I talked a little bit about how this information is basically communicated to CMS and then organized into a particular file or data set. I'm going to use this term file interchangeably with data set today. So there's the outpatient file and the carrier file. And when researchers are trying to identify outpatient services, we strongly recommend that you consider using both the outpatient file and the carrier file for outpatient procedures and services. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about why. The outpatient file includes services provided by institutional facility. So again, reminding you, institutional facility is a hospital. They tend to be, you know, the majority of those institutions that are represented. Hospitals can deliver outpatient services as well as inpatient services. So any kind of outpatient-based clinics that are at a hospital would be separately billed in the outpatient file and therefore show up in the outpatient database. Dialysis facilities also provide outpatient services, therefore in the outpatient file. Rural health clinics, for example, can be considered an institutional facility. The types of services that are reported in the outpatient file can be laboratory, radiology, physical therapy, dialysis, emergency room. The carrier file, on the other hand, it primarily includes physician services, but it also includes ambulance services and other types of services. So it can include some office visits, for example, care that might be provided in a private doctor's office, not attached to a hospital. It can include laboratory services, again, in a laboratory exclusively, or a laboratory that's part of a physician office. Again, not connected with a hospital, for example, or minor procedures, emergency room, and then also hospital and nursing home visits. When you're looking for inpatient services, these inpatient services are billed by the facility, and they can often be billed by physicians too. So a facility could be for, you know, room charges for a hospital stay. There could be staff, people who are employed by the facility. These are recorded on the UB04, and they would show up in either the inpatient or the MedPAR file. But for physician visits, you know, for physicians who are seeing patients outside of the hospital setting, or physicians who are not necessarily billing as an employee of the hospital, they would be submitting information on the CMS 1500, and that data would be represented in the carrier file. We recommend that both the inpatient or the MedPAR and the carrier file be used for all inpatient services. And if you think about it, if a patient has an inpatient event and suppose an infectious disease consult is required, some of those services might be, quote, provided by employees of the hospital, staff physicians, but there also might be an outside consultant who comes in, or the physician might be able to bill as a hospital employee and then might be also providing some services that are not directly due to his or her employment by the hospital. So that aspect of it that's not due to their employment by the hospital could be separately billed on the carrier file. If you're interested in the whole picture of the infectious disease consult, you'd want both the inpatient file and the carrier file. So again, it comes back to what your research questions are and being sure that you understand how this information is transmitted from care into the claims file. The inpatient file includes hospital facility charges, so just keep that in mind. And during long hospital stays, one claim might not be the same as one stay. And an example that we show here is that suppose somebody's admitted on December 15th. Keep in mind the CMS data operate on a calendar year. I know in the VA we use fiscal year, although we're both government agencies, CMS organizes all their data sets along calendar years. So if an inpatient stay rolls over into the next year, in this example, January 15th, they may split up the claims. So it's really important for stays to look especially at the beginning and end of years to make sure that you're capturing the full complement of claims to represent inpatient stays. So if I haven't made it clear so far, using Medicare claims data are not for the faint of heart. You really have to be making a commitment to understand these data. I've talked so far about the inpatient and outpatient institutional files. Let me talk a little bit about the MedPAR file. The MedPAR file takes the data sort of to another level, if you will, and it rolls these claims, rolls them up, if you will, combines them, compiles them, and organizes them to the level of a hospital stay. So instead of having multiple records, multiple claims for a hospital stay, it would roll it all up into one. So for example, the example that I showed on the previous slide, that MedPAR file would represent both of those claims in MedPAR. I would suggest, however, as someone who has used Medicare data and always likes to do a double check, I'd always check the previous MedPAR file just to make sure that they were rolled up properly. And the MedPAR file includes both inpatient hospital stay and skilled nursing facilities. So information about both of those pieces are in the MedPAR file. So just some things to think about. When should I use the MedPAR file versus using inpatient files for studying inpatient stays? The MedPAR file is particularly useful when you're studying the number of stays, the days per stay, the cost per stay, or total costs for an inpatient stay. That information is already compiled. You don't have to roll up a bunch of claims and sort that out. However, if you wanted to look at subcategories or totals for charges that aren't included in MedPAR, you might have to go back to the claims data to reconstruct it. And it includes only the diagnosis and procedure codes found on the last claim of the stay. So if this inpatient event on the MedPAR file included information from multiple claims, the diagnosis and procedure codes would only be there for the last claim, although the cost might be there for the full. So again, some nuances to think about. So I've talked just briefly about locating information on inpatient and outpatient services. And before I go on to the next section of measurement strategies, I want to pause here and see if we have accumulated any questions. Margaret, do you have any questions on this section?
I do have questions. One question is, what if you are a contractor working for the VA or you're a WOC in the VA, are you eligible to get Medicare data from VIRAC?
So VIRAC services research projects that are VA research that have VA R&D and IRB approval. If a contractor is working in a research capacity with a researcher, then by all means they would be within the service scope that VIRAC services. Same with a WOC. A WOC, somebody who has a without compensation appointment who is working with a VA researcher and has the same criteria can also request through VIRAC. We have our partner office known as the Medicare and Medicaid Analysis Center based in Boston, which is an entity within the Office of the Assistant Deputy Undersecretary for Health. They, within their scope, they service all non-research requests. So the broad answer is Medicare data are available in the VA to anyone affiliated with the VA and doing work under VA auspices. Research goes to VIRAC, non-research goes to MAC.
Okay. One more question now. How about for each Medicare service that is billed, is there a specific provider identified for the service?
Yes. That's an easy one.
Okay. You want to
Let's
go
keep going,
on.
And we can have more questions later. The provider ID is a unique ID that Medicare has as part of their system. The thing to keep in mind, you know, some services are provided by, you know, entities, you know, a hospital, a home health agency, a physician. There's certainly institutional IDs. There's also individual provider IDs. I'm not sure that the provider IDs are provided for individuals on the claims data, but there is a separate database that is publicly available that provides information describing providers. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about measurement strategies. And this will kind of transition us to talking about some of the topics that get us into examples of research questions. Now, I'm just going to give you a heads up. We're a little bit behind on where I'd like to be, but that said, we have three examples of research projects. I probably will have time to go through one of them today, depending upon how fast we go through this next section. The citations for these specific research examples are in published papers, so we have some information that's summarized today, so by all means, the citations are there and you can get additional information. But let me move on and just talk about some of the measurement strategies so you can kind of get a flavor of what researchers tend to do, and then we can get into as many examples as we have time for. It's always a balance to try and provide information and also be responsive to questions, especially when we have this, you know, everybody's muted and we have the chat box. So please continue to put your questions into the chat box, and I'll go back to Margaret when we're done with the section. So remember, the most often, we talked a little bit about some of these aspects already, and just to summarize, the metrics that are most commonly used to study healthcare use with the claims data are those for which the claims data are most reliable. So the claims themselves, i.e. how many, the events, the types, the costs, charges and payment amounts are in there, and they're very reliable. stays, so how many inpatient stays or nursing home stays are there, procedures, because there's billing codes attached to those, and then dates. And that's very important because dates are also tied to reimbursement rates. Remember, the reimbursement rates change every year. They're congressionally mandated. There's a fee file that's put out in the congressional record every January. So submissions for claims in 2012 would be reimbursed at a rate that would be different than 2013. So dates are very important in the Medicare claims data. And therefore, these domains are commonly used as metrics in research projects. Claims to measure healthcare use, you know, this is sort of the fact that a claim has been submitted or the number of claims that have been submitted. It's easy to categorize claims by types of care, inpatient, outpatient, home health, whether it's durable medical, and you'll often see summary information that CMS actually produces organized along these lines. And you can do the same with our veteran population. You could do a broad description and describe veterans' use along these major claims areas, for example. Cost is another common one. You can look at charges submitted to Medicare. You can also look at payments made by different entities, whether it's paid by Medicare, paid by the beneficiary. There's fields in the data set for deductibles and copayments. So if you're interested in looking at patients' out-of-pocket costs, that would be a place to look at. And also, for example, by primary payers. Perhaps other insurers are also contributing to the overall healthcare bill. All this information is recorded as part of the claim data set. Who's the first payer, who's the second payer, et cetera. What it doesn't say is worth mentioning is whether the VA is paying anything. And the reason for that is because VA is not allowed to submit claims to Medicare. I don't know if that's a question that anybody's put out there. I suppose I could have done it as a poll, but VA does not submit claims to Medicare. So you cannot rely on Medicare to report back VAs, for example, copayments on prescriptions or any kind of copays a patient might have. You would have to get that separately from the VA. Okay, stays. Stay data, inpatient or SNF stays, are used to measure healthcare use, the fact that there is a hospital stay or a SNF stay, the length of stay, number of stays, time between stays. You might want to look at it by particular disease area. We might have an example of that today, I think, in our research papers. And you might look at it, it could be looked at over time. You could look at it for particular cohorts and see how often particular cohorts are being readmitted during the course of some particular episode, time, years, et cetera. Another question is, you know, which data set should I look at for stays? We talked a little bit about, you know, the trade-offs between looking at MedPAR versus looking at inpatient claims. And the trade-off really is how much detail you're really interested in for your research project and whether you have the wherewithal to combine the claims within the inpatient data sets to construct the stay information that you're interested in. Procedures. Keep in mind there's two types of procedure codes that are important to mention. ICD-9 procedure and surgery codes are used. They're in the inpatient file and the outpatient file, and they're also in the skilled nursing facility file. CPT codes are also referred to as HCPCS. We like to pronounce that one and call it HCPCS. It stands for Healthcare Common Procedure Coding System. So in your mind, equate CPT procedure codes with HCPCS. It also is, they sometimes have some developed codes that are unique to CMS. But the HCPCS codes, the CPT codes, are what's used for billing. Those are really important and those are reliable. ICD-9 procedure codes, surgery codes, are descriptive and they are not used for billing. The HCPCS codes, they identify procedures, supplies, products, and they're really useful when you're using the carrier and the outpatient files. And these are unique codes. So a specific radiology procedure, you know, is it within a certain bank of numbers? I believe it's in the 7,000s. An X-ray is an X-ray. And, you know, they do change from year to year. So there might be some more detail. Some codes may be added in. Some codes may drop out. So if you're doing any research that goes across years, you do need to be mindful of the type of coding data sets that are used by providers to bill and what are accepted by CMS. Again, this information is available in the updates that Medicare provides as well. Procedure data elements that are often used, just the fact that procedures were done, that's a common one that you see in manuscripts. It could be an indicator of a disease or a particular disorder, some sort of screening exam, a mammography, colonoscopy, some particular type of surgery. Number of occurrences of a procedure, it could be an indicator of a prevalence or level of care that's provided. Let's talk a little bit about dates. Examples of data elements that contain dates are listed here. There could be a specific date of service, admission and discharge dates. Again, those could be indicative of whether a claim falls over multiple years. And there's also dates for specific when the claim was submitted and for when it was billed. So you could have multiple date fields in a particular record. Depending upon, you know, what your research question is, it could be very specific looking at the date services were provided. You may not really care when the service was actually billed. That may be irrelevant. Others may actually be interested in the billing date. So be careful when you're choosing which dates to use in your study. The dates can be useful if you're looking at, for example, time between diagnosis and treatment, the frequency with which care is provided. And be careful if you're looking at, events or healthcare use that requires multiple dates and determining episodes of care, for example, dialysis, that could go over a long period of time, or chemotherapy, anything that lasts a period of time. This is where the art of science comes in, and trying to determine time between events may require more than simply looking at a date of service. It could be coming in the future, or there could be gaps in between. Understanding the kind of information that you want to study, again, I can't be overemphasized. Dates are useful because they're easy to calculate. We do use the same calendaring system, so that makes it a little bit easier. Unlike some of the other code sets where we have to do a lot of crosswalking between information, dates are standard dates. There are some disadvantages of using dates. If you're trying to combine VA and Medicare, it's not so much that the dates mean something, but it has to do with the way, the differences in the two systems and how we record events. In the VA, oftentimes there might be multiple events that are, that happen in one day, where in Medicare, often different days for each event. So for example, those of you who are clinicians probably realize that, a patient in the VA might schedule an outpatient visit, a time with a podiatrist, and maybe some group therapy on the same day for convenience sake. In Medicare, that's just much more difficult to coordinate. So oftentimes those events might be split up over different days and sometimes weeks. So it's just the nature of care. It's not that we really record it differently. So but just be mindful of those kinds of things. And some information is best looked at from claim from and through dates. They're not always the same as admission and discharge dates or dates of service. So be careful if there's types of information that you're looking at that has both a date of service as well as claim from and through dates. Depending upon what that service is, the choice about which date you use could be important. So I kind of raced through that a bit. So that I could get you to some examples of VA studies, but let me pause here and see if any questions have come in, because I want to make sure that you understand some of the measurement strategies. Margaret, do we have any questions?
Well, here's a general question asking or stating it's Medicare's complicated data, and the attendee is wondering whether there will be more sessions to help figure out how to use these Medicare data.
So that's a good question. Of course, all these questions are good. We have one other lecture, and again, it will be very introductory. What I'll introduce you to at the end is CMS has a training program, and they host a series of detailed courses on using specific types of data in research. They're not necessarily specific to VA. It's been some time since we've coordinated any special VA sessions with the Research Data Assistance Center. They're they're based at the University of Minnesota, and they do the training programs for CMS for researchers. And I can highlight that at the end of our lecture today. Thanks, Margaret.
Okay.
So let me dive into some research examples, and I'll, like I said, I'll pause probably after the second one today to give time for some more questions, because I think we have just 10 minutes in today's lecture. So there's three research papers, and I wanted to just give you a flavor of research using claims data. Fan Liu and colleagues published this paper in 2010. We also have one looking at cost as an outcome measure. That's a paper from our group that we published in Medical Care in 2007. And then another paper that was used procedures, and that's from 2006, Helenich and colleagues. And they also focus on a particular disease entity as well. So I want to really call your attention to these papers. I believe in our at the end today we also have, or at least we have available, a bibliography that we maintain and update on VA researchers in the published literature. So if you're interested in access to that kind of information, we can make that available. I don't see it on our slides, but it's some information that we have at our fingertips. So let me tell you a little bit about Fan Liu and colleagues' paper in health services research. They looked at measuring outpatient utilization using claims, and their goal was to examine differences in the use of VA and Medicare outpatient services by VA primary care patients from VA community-based versus VA hospital-based primary care clinics. So they had a very specific question in mind looking at primary care. And they wanted to look at those in a previous study, and they looked at about 15,520 primary care users. They had already defined who these people were in 2000, and then they were also enrolled in Medicare fee-for-service. So these are VA enrollees, VA users who used primary care beginning in 2000, who were also Medicare beneficiaries. So that's an important dimension. They're known to have Medicare coverage. For their data sources, they used Medicare claims data. They also used VA administrative data, and they used U.S. Census data for some of the demographic, geographic information. The VA administrative data is our generic term for data sets that we've talked about in past lectures, for example, the MedSAS data sets, inpatient and outpatient, and some of the administrative data repository information, and as well as the discharge and outpatient data sets. They compared VA and Medicare. They used an algorithm based on provider specialty and then CPT codes that were present in both systems. And they looked at the number of outpatient visits assigned to primary care, specialty care, mental health over four consecutive years. And they also looked at an independent variable, covariate, primary care received from VA community versus hospital-based clinics. They found that the use of Medicare reimbursed care, that is a percent of the entire cohort of those who received primary care, was more than 30%, specialty care was greater than 60%, and mental health care was down near the bottom at 3 to 4%. Community-based VA primary care patients showed decreased use of the VA and increased Medicare use compared to hospital-based VA primary care patients. Let me tell you, I'm going to skip our paper, and I'm going to go to the one that kind of gets at issues in a particular disease entity, and I'll refer you to our manuscript online for the costs. But I just want to introduce you to using procedures. Again, you can obviously drill down pretty deep into these Medicare data. This is a group that looked at racial and ethnic disparities in quality of care for a diabetes cohort of VA patients. And they looked at a national sample of non-institutionalized VA patients, 65 and over, with diabetes. And they had this cohort. And they used this information from both VHA prescription and ICD-9 codes and Medicare ICD-9 diagnostic codes for the years here. So they used the descriptive coding information in both VA and Medicare to define their cohort. Then they looked at some race and ethnicity information that are available in VA and Medicare data. Medicare does have a vital status data set that does, it does have race information that Medicare data collects. So there's race information in both VA and Medicare. But the claims data that they use that I want to emphasize today is the inpatient, outpatient, and carrier data. They're interested in procedures, yet they used all three of these data sets. They looked at CPT codes for laboratory result files in the VA, and in the Medicare data, they use CPT codes or the HCPCS codes used in outpatient and carrier file. And then they looked at ICD-9 procedure codes in the inpatient. Those of you who've been in some of our previous lecture remember that ICD-9 procedure codes are used in VA's inpatient data. But they looked at three quality of care measures, hemoglobin A1C, LDLs, and then eye exams for ophthalmology. Important clinical care measures in diabetes management. So they obviously relied on whether the fact of these events took place. The results are not available in the Medicare data, but they could look at whether these particular procedures actually occurred. They could look at results within the VA data, and within VA and Medicare data, they could look at, you know, whether together these events were occurring. They found that the rates of receiving these procedures were equal to or higher for blacks and Hispanics compared to whites. And they found that results were reversed when they looked at receiving procedures in the VHA plus the Medicare data. They found that more care data was captured in Medicare for whites as compared to blacks and Hispanics. So I'm going to just stop there for examples, and I want to make sure that I highlight information that's available for additional help. I mentioned some of this as we were going through. One is the VIRIC help, VIRIC webpage. We do have information on the internet site, and it's pretty detailed. You can find some more information about VA data sources on the intranet site as well. But there's a pretty full range of information on the internet site. So those of you outside the VA can still see a lot of information that we provide. If, you know, you're restricted to the internet site and you still have more questions, please feel free to send us a question on the VIREC help desk. And even if you can get past and within the intranet, you're always welcome to use our help desk. We have a team of staff who work exclusively, are very knowledgeable and work especially with the Medicare data in VA and can help with questions. HSR Data Listserv, I would encourage you to join if you're interested and are not familiar with using VA and Medicare data. It's a discussion group. We now have over 400 data stewards, managers, users, researchers, policy people. It's within the VIREC website to register, and it's you do have to have it's within the intranet. So unfortunately, if you're outside of the VA, you can't really join that. But it is information that sometimes can be, you know, some peer support, and that could supplement asking questions of VIREC. As I mentioned, we have some detailed information on our website. And it includes this kind of information. So, for example, if you're planning a study and you, you know, may not have the wherewithal to query the data set in advance of, you know, a proposal being funded, some of the information we try to make available frequencies, for example, about common variables used, the kind of information most people use these data in SAS. So we put SAS proc contents up there, and this is where the information is on our BIREX website. We also have links to the Research Data Assistance Center, known as RESDAC. They're the CMS contractor based at the University of Minnesota, and they've been around, I don't know exactly how long, but longer than BIREC. And their assistance is free. They provide assistance to researchers, government agencies, not-for-profits, about working with Medicare data, and they have a host of information for training. To give you some context, I have our BIREC staff check this website for training opportunities. When we hear about, or when RESDEC hears about sort of a quorum of VA researchers, we might coordinate with RESDEC to do a special session that's a little more tailored to VA. So please be sure, if you're interested in some linkages with VA data, or you're really trying to do VA research with Medicare data, let RESDEC know when you contact them or you contact us, and that will give us some information upon which we can think of coordinating some special sessions with RESDEC. And of course, CMS, if you want to have more information about, sort of like overall issues with, CMS coverage issues, I would strongly recommend orienting yourself through the CMS homepage. There's also a lot of information for Medicare beneficiaries, and that's also a good place to start, especially if you're a novice at this. It's geared towards patients, so it's easy to understand, and the CMS homepage also has a lot of information at different levels as you become acclimated to it. So I'm going to stop there and see if we have any other questions that we can answer in our 3 minutes that we have left. Margaret, do we have anything else?
We do. One question is, where can you obtain information about medications in Medicare data?
So Medicare has, there's two answers to that question. There's some information about limited medications that are provided and that Medicare currently reimburses for under either Part A or Part B. Those tend to be parenteral medications, IV this, injectable that. And those would be in the carrier file and sometimes in the durable medical. For medications that are covered under Part D, Medicare does have a separate set of data under Part D claims. We didn't talk about those today. If you have a VA research project that requires Medicare Part D, let BIREC know. Right now we have a process with CMS where these are made available on a request-by-request basis. And Medicare right now is charging us for those specific requests. But there are medications in both the Part D for, oral meds covered under Part D, and then currently available in the carrier and the DME for anything that already is covered outside of Part D under A and B.
Okay. An earlier question was about the quality of the race and ethnicity data in Medicare.
So I'm going to refer you to some information that we have both on the BIREC website, and I believe there might even be some new information on the VHA Data Equality Program site. I can tell you that in the VA, we rely on both the VA's race data as well as Medicare's race data, and there's been some comparisons, and we have a couple publications out there that talks about the quality and sort of like best choices in different situations for using either the VA data or going and, obtaining the information from Medicare. As you may or may not know, how race data are collected has changed and hopefully improved a bit over time. There's now more information that kind of gets into ethnicity issues more than just race. It's highly regarded, but I can't give you a quantitative number on whether it's better than other data.
Okay. Denise, maybe one last question. What is Medicare fee-for-service?
Okay, so Medicare fee-for-service, providers deliver care and they bill Medicare on a piece-by-piece basis for every service. And Medicare has rates developed for every CPT code, every billing code, every service that is billed. That's fee-for-service. Prospective payment, on the other hand, is Medicare has a pre-negotiated rate for events such as inpatient stay. So every diagnostic-related group, every stay is classified according to a DRG, and there's doesn't matter how long the stay is, but Medicare has a pre-negotiated rate for stays that are for coronary artery bypass graft with complications. The patient stays for 5 days, or if the patient stays for, 3 weeks, there's a pre-negotiated fee for diagnostic-related group. So the distinction is that fee-for-service, Medicare reimburses on a service basis. There's also, negotiated rates for each service, but fee-for-service means they're, if you will, unbundled. It's not a package. It's separate items.
Okay. I think we're at the top of the hour. I want to thank everybody for attending, and thank you, Denise. Our next scheduled session is Monday, January 7th, same time, and it will be, Measuring Veterans Health Service Use in VA and Medicare. It will be part two, and Dr. Hines will be presenting that as well. Thank you all. Happy holidays.
Thank you.